Good morning. This morning we're going to look at testimonies, the benefit to you and the benefit to other people of your testimony and the power of your testimony. Okay, so let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness, your mercies which are new every morning. We thank you for your great faithfulness. Lord, we thank you that you know our feeble frames, our failings. You know us inside and out, and yet you still love us. Amen. So I wonder how often you think about your testimony. Daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, or almost never. Some of us have what we consider to be an awesome testimony, and there are others of us who are really not sure we've got much of a testimony. We don't think it's very great. I'll let you make your mind up which category I fall into. And I think we consider our testimony mainly to be about our lives before we knew Jesus and how we came to Christ and salvation. We concentrate on that bit of the story. We concentrate on how bad, how lost, how sinful we were. And that's the only bit of the testimony that we concentrate on. But our testimony is about our daily life, our continued daily walk with Jesus. It's not just history. It's a living daily story. It is about then. It is about now. And it is about tomorrow. So have you ever sat listening to a person giving their testimony and thought, wow, that's powerful, isn't it? What a really horrible person you were. And I'm not sure I'm ever going to invite you round to my house and there's no way you're babysitting my kids. Or you sit there and listen and go, wow, what a miracle. You've really suffered there. And there's a part of me that's glad it was you and not me. It's just me. And I remember talking to Jenny Wharton once about my testimony. We'd sat in house group and somebody had come and shared. And it was a very moving, powerful testimony. And I remember thinking, wow, things God's done for you. That's amazing. But my testimony is not like that. And I remember speaking to Jenny afterwards and saying, my testimony is not like that. My testimony is not powerful. My testimony is weak and poor. And you can imagine how that went down. You know, I've never murdered anyone. I've never committed adultery. I've never done drugs. Only caffeine, I suppose. You know, you get the idea. I did once borrow the words from a chorus to win a Sunday school competition, which I did win. And all went really well for about 6 months until there was a visitor to the church and we sang this chorus and they went, I've never sung it to that tune. You can imagine my mum and dad's reaction. It wasn't pleasant. So I was saying to Jenny, my testimony is weak and poor because I've never been really awful. I don't think. And Jenny was less than amused, to say the least, and gave me a dressing down in only the way that Jenny can. You know, it was pleasant. It was nice, but I knew I'd been put in my place at the end of it. I knew that I'd been put right. And Jenny was right. My testimony is as powerful as any. It's a testimony of a young boy coming to faith and how God has kept him through the years. It's a story of faithfulness, of unfaithfulness, of walking in faith, and sometimes getting it right and getting it wrong. But it's a testimony of God's grace and faithfulness to a person who doesn't deserve it. So have we misunderstood the purpose of our testimonies? I think partly we have. In Revelation 12:11, hopefully it says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Wow. So we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. That's amazing, isn't it? So powerful must your testimony be to help defeat the enemy. So your testimony is ongoing. It's not just yesterday's news. It is an historical document, but it's also current, and it's also relevant, and it's also powerful. So what's the purpose of a testimony? Well, I believe your testimony has more purpose to it than many of us have realised. Firstly, it is for the advancement of the kingdom of God, to work alongside the gospel and the Holy Spirit to bring God's gift of repentance to a person. It is your individual story. Nearly got that right then. It is your individual story of how Jesus opened your eyes to see that you were a sinner, and then how you came to a place of accepting Jesus as your own personal saviour. And that's a powerful story for others to hear and to help them on their journey of salvation and faith. That is important, and that is powerful for you to share that with people, of how you came to be who you are today in Jesus. Hey, however, we need to be careful not to boast, exaggerate or brag in our past sins or to glorify ourselves, because it's not about how bad you were. You used to sell drugs. I was making £1,000 a day. I was the biggest, baddest person. No one would mess with me. Will look at me in the wrong way. I've sat there, people share testimonies like that. There's nothing wrong with it, as long as we're not boasting in ourselves and in our past sin. Because it's not about how bad we were, but it's about how good he is. It's about how good God and Jesus are. Yeah, it's not about me and my massive sin. It's about God's amazing grace and the sacrifice that Jesus made to restore you to the place, position that God created and desires you to be as a son or daughter. I'll just let that one sink in for a little bit. The place where God desires you to be a son and a daughter. And the primary purpose of your testimony is to give all the glory to God. And Paul puts it like this in 1 Timothy 1, 13 to 16. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience with an example for those who will believe in him and receive eternal life. Isn't that just fantastic and marvellous? Hey, isn't that just, if that doesn't actually make you smile on the inside, would you just still check that your pulse is going, that your heart's still pumping? Is that not just so exciting? The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. Just a little bit. Abundantly. Well, it excites me anyway. But there we go. And secondly, your testimony is there to encourage others. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says this, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. There's nothing better, is there, than hearing how somebody who's going through a hard time or has been through a hard time, what God did for them, how God's moved in them and through them and used them. There's nothing better than that. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, it says, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See, our story can be the key that unlocks someone else's prison. Our God, this isn't my quote, this I'm quoting somebody, but I'm not exactly sure who it was. But our God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, a victim into a victory. You see, there's nothing worse than thinking you're the first person to be going through a trial and a temptation and a difficulty, and that you're facing it all alone, and nobody else in the entire universe understands how you feel or where you are. But the truth is, there's been hundreds of thousands of millions of us who have gone through it before. Your testimony is there to encourage each other. When we share about Jesus and the wonderful things that he has done in our lives, how he's rescued you, restored you, and refreshed you, how the grace and the faithfulness of God have brought you through and overcome every trial, every obstacle that you have faced in life. It encourages a brother or sister who's walking through that same thing. It does do that. And I nearly got them three words right there, but never mind, Rob, I'm sorry. You can deduct me points later. But it is an encouraging thing to know that when you're sat there looking at a financial crisis in your own life, that there's other people who have been there before you and it's been sorted out for them by God. Yeah, it's a comfort. It is an encouragement. It doesn't normally stop you panicking when you get to the same situation or a similar situation again. However, that's being human, isn't it? Maybe it isn't. Am I the only human one in here? No? Okay. So Paul uses his conversion story to explain to the crowd in Acts 22 and to King Agrippa in Acts 26 why he is a follower of Jesus, why he now has the convictions he has, the reason for the change in his behaviour, the reason why he suddenly stopped trying to kill Christians and actually become one of them. But if you look through the book of Acts, there's only a few times Paul tells his conversion tale. Tale's the wrong word, isn't it? Story. There's only three times, four times that he does it. He doesn't go on and on and on about it. But the New Testament is then full of what he then does in his daily life. Yeah? He explains to people, I am now who I am. I am now where I am because of this. This part of my history has brought me to today. But he doesn't just keep pointing people to his history. He brings them to today and he points them to today and then tomorrow and what God has planned and purpose for their lives, for now and for the future. And that's part of his testimony. I often hear Christians say, I wish I had a conversion story like Paul. That's up to you guys. I go with it. You know, I'm not really keen on being on the road to Damascus at the minute, being truthful. But if you want that, then that's fine. But are you keen to take the beatings, the shipwrecks, the imprisonments that Paul also faced? I'm not up for that one, I don't think. Especially the shipwrecks. I'm not a good swimmer. I'm not a swimmer. Okay. But the purpose of your testimony, the purpose of Paul's testimony, was to reveal the grace and faithfulness of God and to encourage us all. Does that clock stop when you get up here and you stand here? It does, you know. Does it go backwards when you stand up here? Oh, dear me. Dearie me. Okay. You see, your testimony is how you come to the Lord. It is. Then, it is where you are today. But I think your testimony also has another side to it, which is just as important to sharing it with non-Christians or non-believers or people who are seeking whatever term we're going to use for them. Okay, and that is to remind you of the miracles and things that God has done in your life. It's the way markers and the signs along your walk with Christ to remind you when you face situations of God's goodness, provision, faithfulness, and the actions that he has done for you in the past and that he's willing to do in the present and in the future, and that he's able, willing, and faithful to do it again. So in Joshua 4, verses 1 to 7, I'm going to paraphrase this one, Pauline, I'm afraid. So it says, place 12 stones where you cross the Jordan, and when your children ask you what these 12 stones are, tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant, and the people crossed on dry land. See, Joshua, God tells Joshua, pick 12 men, one from each tribe, go and get a stone and place them where we crossed the Jordan. Okay? But that multitude of people knew they crossed the Jordan. They were there. They did it. They didn't get their feet wet. Yeah? But life goes on. And they settle in the land. And they go about their everyday lives. And they quickly forget God's provision. And they quickly forget that they crossed the Jordan. And the stones are there to remind them. And then when their children go, why are they there? Why are they there? Oh, what an opportunity to be able to say to your kids, well, come here. These are here because of the goodness, the greatness, and the faithfulness of my God and your God. And he did this for us. And it opens up the whole story to tell the next generation of the goodness and greatness and the faithfulness of God. What an opportunity to then be able to share to your kids, this is what God did for us. Oh yeah, I forgot about this. Fantastic. And that's what your testimony is there for as well. To remind you of what God has previously done. And share it with your own heart again. So, in Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, it says this. It says, David found strength in the Lord. Yeah, and some versions say, or David encouraged himself in the Lord. Okay, so David and his men have been out on battle, come back, and their wives, daughters, sons who were younger have all been kidnapped and taken away. Everything they had has gone. And David's followers, the army, decide they're going to do a great thing and stone him, because it's all his fault, isn't it? If he hadn't have took them off to fight someone else, they'd have all been there to protect their wives and families. So we'll stone him to death. And it says, David found strength in the Lord. Or David encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, how did he do that? He's just about to be stoned to death. So David, what, some kind of spiritual superstar? Possibly. Not quite as human as the rest of us? Possibly. Don't believe it, reading the rest of his story. But he remembers what the Lord has done for him. He uses his testimony to remember what God has done for him in his past. And then he remembers the promises that God has made to him. Promises for the future that in the day he stood nearly getting stoned to death hadn't come to pass. And then he puts two and two together and thinks, God did this in my past. And God was faithful to me in this situation, when I faced that big giant and I hurled a stone at him. That'll be a good story. Sunday schools will use that all the time. That's cool. God did that. And he goes through his life quickly because he hasn't got time to mess about, and remembers the things where God was faithful and where God stepped in and God provided. And then he stands there and thinks, well, if God's done all of that for me and God's promised all this to me, I'm going to be all right here. Guys, you might as well put the stones down because this ain't going to happen. Yeah? It glosses over it, doesn't it? David found strength. How? How did he go and look under a rock for it? Oh, there it is. It's just behind there. Whoops. Wondered where I'd put that. Now, he remembers the previous things that God has done for him. And he then recalls the things that God has promised to do for him in the future. And he puts the two and two together. If you were faithful in that, God, you'll be faithful in that. Yeah? Faithful in the past, you'll be faithful in the future. I'm safe and sound. Do you get it? Yeah? Okay, that's good. And then David praises God in the midst of the disaster. He's got a certainty. He's got a proof. He's got evidence that the God who promised keeps his word. See, and your testimony is there to teach you and to remind you of God's ways. It should change your thinking. It should show you God's perspective. Yeah. Even the things we learnt last week, even the things that God showed us yesterday, are part of our testimony today. Your testimony should reveal the nature of God to you. It's not enough for us to long after or desire miracles. God is much more than just a problem solver. Much more than just an issue fixer. Even miracles can get boring and we can get dissatisfied with them. And if you don't agree with me, then just look at the story of Exodus. Yeah? It didn't take the children of Israel long to moan about the daily miracle of manna and go, where's the meat? Where is it? Yeah? And then when God provided quail, I bet it wasn't long before they went, manna and quail again. Yeah? It wouldn't be long. So in Mark chapter 8, you don't have to turn to this one, Paulie. Jesus has just fed the 4,000. And then Jesus and the disciples get into a boat and they cross to the other side of the lake. And the disciples have forgotten to take any bread with them. Okay. And Jesus starts talking to them in the boat and he says, you need to be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. And immediately the disciples go, yeast? Oh yeah, there's yeast. Yeast is in bread. Oh, he's talking about the bread and I forgot to bring the bread. He forgot to bring the... Whose job was it? Was it your job to bring the bread? Was it yours? Was it Matt? Oh, flipping heck, who forgot the bread? It was you. It was you. Shopping, that's down to you. You do the list. No? Okay. That's me getting no dinner. But Jesus is talking to them about not becoming too religious and not falling in love with the world. Yeah? But the disciples are just caught up in the physical. Yeah? They can't see beyond the, you forgot to bring the bread. No, no, it was you. No, no, I'm not taking a written warning for the bread. No chance. I'll take a verbal warning. I'm not taking a written warning. And then Jesus asked them the following questions. And I'm so glad I wasn't in this boat. He says, do you still not see or understand? I guess not. Are your hearts hardened? Didn't think so, but it looks like it. Do you have eyes but fail to see? And ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they reply. You will notice to all the other questions, they never replied. But when it's how many pieces of bread did you pick up? How many baskets did you fill? Oh, yeah, that was 12. Yeah, yeah, 12. I'm there. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? And they answered 7. And then he said to them, do you still not understand? Do you get it? He was trying to tell them, feeding the 5,000 wasn't about just meeting a physical need. It's about God's provision. It's about knowing the provider. Okay. As I say, I'm glad I wasn't in that boat. But then, being a non-swimmer, I don't know how I'd have got round with Jesus. I'd have been like, I'll go round the long way. I'll meet you there. Anyway. So in Genesis 33, verse 13, Moses says this, Show me your ways that I may know you. While Moses went into the tent of meetings and met with God face to face, the children of Israel stood outside their tents and worshipped. So Israel was acquainted with the acts of God, but Moses was acquainted with God's ways. Israel knew his acts. Moses knew the person. So Moses would go into the tent and they'd all stand outside the tent, looking at the tent of meetings, worshipping. Wouldn't you think one of them would have been curious enough to have gone, can I come with you? Go on, please. I know I'm not as good as you, but can I come with you? I'll sit at the back. I won't interfere with you and God. Just let me be there. You see, we should not only want the acts of God, but we should seek a relationship with God. We shouldn't just want God's provision, but want to know and have a relationship with the provider. And that's what your testimony should be pushing you towards. Your testimony should reveal the faithfulness of God to you. You know, often we can't see beyond our past. We can't see beyond the present thing in front of us. We just can't get our heads around this issue, this problem. How's it going to be sorted? Yeah? And it blindsides us. But your testimony is there, as I've said, to go, God did it yesterday, so he'll do it again. And he may not do it today, and he may choose to do it tomorrow, but he'll do it. Yeah? You see, the advantage of getting older, is that you have the benefit of hindsight, yeah? And you can now look, I can now look back on my life and go, there he was. He was in that. He saw, he was there, and he was there, and he was there, and he was there, and he was there. Let's go back again. He was there, he was there, he was there, he was, oh, he was there. I didn't see it, yeah? And you can look back and go, God was there. I didn't think so at the time. I didn't feel it at the time. I was desperately crying out to him, where are you? But now I can look back and go, he was there. He was there and he did move. And he did sort out the issue. And he did. And he did. And he did give me a clip around the ear and teach me something in it and tell me to behave. But he did. And that's what your testimony is there for. It's there to show others the need for salvation and the benefits. Yeah? The benefits of salvation. We so overlook the blessings and the benefits of God. We just do. Well, I do. You guys mightn't. It's there to encourage others facing difficulties and trials of life. Yeah? Yet again this week, I found myself in a situation where I can only say to the person involved, I don't know. I really don't know. But I know God's got a plan and purpose for life. And I know he's got your name written on the palm of his hand. And I know that I know that you'll look back on this day and you'll go, God brought me through it and God sorted me out. But I haven't got any other clever words of wisdom for them. And it's there to remind you of God's faithfulness to you. Yeah? It's there to remind you of what God did for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So, if, like me, at times you think your testimony is a bit weak and a bit poor, okay, write your story down. Write it down and analyze it. Write it down and go, oh, look, there's a big book God moment there. And there's another one. Oh, and there's another one. Oh, yeah. And get excited. Get excited about what God has done in your life and will do in your life. See, my mum would say if she was here today, and I'm glad she isn't because it's nervous enough getting up here, but she would say there is no way she would ever have foreseen a day when I stood here and did what I'm doing now. She'd openly admit that, wouldn't she? She'd go, no chance. There is no chance he'd have ever done this. But I don't do this because of my own skills and ability. Yeah? It's God. It's the plan, purpose of God. And sometimes I don't like the plan and purpose of God, but I've just got to go with it. But use your testimony, not only for others, but for you. Encourage yourself in the things of God. You know, people set out to encourage you, but sometimes the words they use, the text message they send, you read it and you go, what on earth is that? That is not. What are you doing there, fella? Well, I was trying to encourage you, believe it or not. Yeah. But God doesn't have them miscommunications. God doesn't mess the wording up. Yeah? Because not only has he got the words to give you, but he's got the physical evidence of where he's moved in your life. So use it to encourage yourselves. Enjoy your cups of coffee. Okay. Or tea. Of course.